today, and it shall come forth from the book of 2 Kings, the third chapter. 2 Kings, the third chapter, and we'll start reading at verse 1. As always, we're reading according to the New American Standard Version, and it reads as follows. Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, became king over Israel at Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, though not like his father and his mother, for he put away the sacred pillar of Baal, which his father had made. Nevertheless, he clung to the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he made Israel sin. He did not depart from them. Now Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep breeder and used to pay the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and the wool of 100,000 rams. But it came about when Ahab died, the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And King Jehoram went out of Samaria at the time and mustered all Israel. Then he went and sent word to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me to fight against Moab?" And he said, "I will go up. I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." We want to speak for just a moment from this theme and this thesis entitled, "When God is in the Fight." When God is in the fight. Part 8 of this series. As we start out the reading of 2 Kings here, through which we plan to journey with this particular message, if it be the Lord's will, we see the opening that has occurred, and that is that a fight has broken out. And if I had time to tell you that whether a person is a king or just an individual on the street, so to speak, or in the community or in society, fights are going to break out. Some of them will be in the natural, where they can be visible, to where we see nations against nations and kings against kings, where we see countries against countries, where we see individuals against individuals, families against families, groups against groups. Some of them we'll see. But many of them we won't see because they're in the spiritual realm. And they affect everything that happens in the natural realm. But fights are constantly breaking out. Every day, fights are breaking out. And so, for us as Christians, for us as believers, how do we make sure that God is in every fight that we have to endure? Amen. When we are born, the fight begins. Job said that man born of a woman is but a few days, and those are full of troubles. In other words, the essence of life is that there are challenges, that there are difficulties, that there are obstacles and barriers that we've got to get beyond. And I don't know about you, but the little short time I've been on this planet, I wouldn't want to breathe one breath knowing what I know now, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness in high places. I wouldn't want to breathe a single breath without knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and the pardoning of my sins. So that God is in every fight that comes my way. Yeah, so that God is in every fight, whether it's seen or whether it's unseen. But we see here Jehoram, the king of Israel. Of course, Israel has been divided into two different peoples because of the sin of Solomon. And as a result of that, we have the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom. We have the kingdom of Judah, we have the kingdom of Israel. And these two kingdoms are two separate kingdoms. So we see Jehoram coming to King Jehoshaphat, asking him, will you join me in the fight? Will you merge your kingdom with my kingdom? Somebody better pray with me today. Because as long as we live life, there's always going to be somebody wanting you some kind of way to merge with them. One of the obvious ways is marriage. You better be careful, good God Almighty, who you merge with. Matter of fact, you better be careful who you converge with. Because, see, folks start converging before they start merging. Somebody gonna pray in here. I say folks start converging before they start merging. See, when somebody starts a relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend, boy meets girl, in the world, I like him, I like her, and we like each other. Oh, that's wonderful. But you better be sure, before you start to converge, approach and emerge, you better make sure that God is in your fight. You better make sure that the person that you're merging with has the same working on their behalf. But verse 2 says here that Jehoram, in this third chapter of Kings, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now here's a man doing evil, but he wants somebody to merge with him. See, there are folks sometimes who are about everybody's business other than the Lord's, and that means that they're about the enemy of God's business, not God's business. Because truth be told, there are two forces in this universe, God and Satan. There are two words in this universe, God's word and Satan's word. Adam and Eve ran into it in the garden. So it doesn't matter how many faces or how many places, there's not but two words, God's word and Satan's word. The folk who have God's word will quote scripture. They'll share with you God's word. They'll encourage you in righteousness for the building up of your life. Those who are coming from the enemy's perspective, they'll tell you, oh, no, stay away from that. They squares, they ties, and stay away from them. They not going anywhere. You need to have a fun. You need to have a good time. By the way, here's Johnny, here's Joe, here. And the whole objective ends up one way or the other, either God's way or the enemy's way. And so we need to know who we're converging and who we're merging with. The scripture says that Jehoshaphat's response was such as this in verse 7. I will go up. I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. So a converge turned into a merge to where these two kingdoms, these two kings, by their own statement, became one. And you know, that's what, in effect, what marriage is. Same way we become one with Christ, by what we confess with our mouth, what we believe in our heart. That's how a man and a woman become one flesh, through what they say with their mouth and what they believe in their heart. They made a covenant to be one. Now, Jehoshaphat was a righteous king. Right. He was someone who sought to do God's will. He sought to live life God's way. But he was merging with somebody. Somebody better walk with me now. He was merging with somebody who was evil in the sight of the Lord. Meaning that this person did not line up with God's word or God's will. I've heard some folks sometime, especially, and I've seen it young and kind of young and kind of old, and I've seen old folk say, well, I'm going to go ahead and marry Johnny because I'm going to change him. Or I'm going to go ahead and marry Carol because I'm going to change her. Verse 8 says this. It says, and he said, which way shall we go up? And he answered, the way of the wilderness to Edom. Now, every king, whoever went up to battle, and I'm giving you the backdrop. In the words of Dr. E.K. Bailey, he said that if you don't give the backdrop, he said every diamond needs a black velvet backdrop in order to get his best shine on. Praise God. So see, the backdrop is this, is that every king that was a godly king always sought the Lord before they engaged in battle. They acknowledged the Lord in all their ways that God might direct their path. And that's what God expects every one of us to do as Christians, as believers. That's why Proverbs 3:5 says that trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. But in all of your ways, acknowledge him that he might direct your path. Amen. This King Jehoram was simply mad and angry because he wasn't getting the money that he had, that his daddy had got. By the way, he come from bad stock. Somebody going to make me pray. I ain't got time to preach all of this, but I'm just going to touch on enough of it so we can get the point. Amen. Praise God. He come from bad stock. See? His mama and daddy were devil worshipers. They were satanic worshipers, and they led God's people in worshiping Satan. And he had a brother who came right behind him, Ahaziah. And Ahaziah kept on doing the same thing that his mom and daddy did. And then here come Jehoram, another child, because Ahaziah didn't have a son to assume the throne. So as a brother to Ahaziah, he took over the throne, and his same mom and daddy, Ahab and Jezebel. Folk who worshiped and served Satan and turned their backs to God. And this boy come along and doing the same kind of practices, except he had made an adjustment here or there. But the bottom line is he was still heading in the same direction. Yeah. And this is who was desiring for the righteous king to connect with him. But oddly enough, this was not Jehoshaphat's first time. Somebody gonna pray with me. I say this was not his first time merging with an ungodly person. Matter of fact, he had done this once before with Jehoram's daddy, Ahab, the evil king. When he came to him and wanted him to fight in battle, he said the same thing. Matter of fact, turn with me to 1 Kings, the 22nd, just a few pages back. 1 Kings, the 22nd chapter. And we're going to look at verse 4, just for the sake of expediency. It says, then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I refrain? And they said, go up, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not yet a prophet of the Lord here that we can inquire of him? Here this king was, Ahab, desiring to go to battle, and he's asking prophets of a false god for advice. And then he had asked Jehoshaphat to go to battle with him, and Jehoshaphat's question was, is there not a man, a woman of God we can call on? Is there not a prophet of the Lord that we can seek counsel for? In other words, Ahab was simply flying by the seat of his pants, dealing with false gods and idols. But Jehoshaphat was used to getting direction by acknowledging the true and the living God. See, and I've seen sometimes folk do pairing, and they wondering why they can't get on the same page with folk. Because, see, one person is trusting in the Lord, and another person's trusting in some other things. Okay? But he had told the king of Israel the same thing that he told his son. And that is that he was one with him. Okay? But now look at what happened when they went to battle. In verse 29 of 1 Kings 22, it says, so the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went up against Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go into the battle, but you put on your robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. Now let's stop right there just for a moment. This is a pretty devastating strategy for Jehoshaphat. Because here the other nation is, knowing that they're fighting against Ahab, but he tells King Jehoshaphat, he says, tell you what, I'm not going to put on my royal robes. In other words, why don't we make it look like you or me and I'm somebody else? Now you better be careful whose place you take. Because look at what the other army had arranged for Ahab, because God had already prophesied through the word that this man was going to die a dishonorable death. Verse 31 says this. It says, now the king of Aram had commanded the 32 captains of his chariots, saying, do not fight with small or great, but with the king of Israel alone. Verse 32 of 1 Kings 22. It says, so it came about when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, surely it is the king of Israel. Did you see that? And they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. Then it happened when the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel that they turned back from pursuing him. He almost lost his life because of merging, amen, somebody, with folk who are not on God's agenda. Listen. Somebody better walk with me. I said he almost lost his life behind going to battle or going to fight with as one with someone who is not in alignment with God. See, God will always fight on behalf of his people. Amen. But those who are against God, God is against them. Okay? That's why this man had a bullseye on his body. Because he was destined for death because he was evil in the sight of the Lord. And lo and behold, as we flip back now, that we have the backdrop here to the third chapter of 2 Kings, his son is doing the exact same thing. Evil in the sight of the Lord. And here comes Jehoshaphat again, who almost lost his life the last time he joined the fight with somebody who was evil in the sight of the Lord. And here he is now doing it with the next generation. Can I put a pin where I'm going just for a moment? You know what? Boy, sometimes folk just seem hard to learn some lessons. And but for the grace of God, they would be like Jehoshaphat. They'd be in a similar situation to Jehoshaphat. They would have lost their lives because they're hanging with the wrong folk. Hanging around the wrong people. Running with folk who are running away from God rather than those who are running after God. The Bible says, according to Psalms 1, turn with me there. Hold your place in 2 Kings, the third chapter. It says, how blessed is the man, in Psalm 1, verse 1, who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. There's no clear picture of God being in the fight than this. The one who is meditating on the word of God day and night, the one who has taken the word of God and hid it in their heart, that they may not sin against the Lord, as David said in the 119th division of Psalm, God said that person is going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and in all that they do, they shall prosper. God said everything they touch, they're going to have success. Everything they touch is going to turn to gold. Because they're not connected with ungodly folk. But they have become one with the Lord himself. And they've left those who are evil or who do evil in the sight of the Lord, left them folk alone. They've left them alone. Turn with me, if you would. Hold in your place in 2 Kings 3, our subject scripture, to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. The Lord wants to give an emphasis on this today. God wants to give an emphasis. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Let's look at verse 14 together. The scripture says, do not be bound together with unbelievers. Oh, well, that is right there. See somebody think, oh, well, okay, that's Apostle Giles up there just telling folk the wrong things and telling folk, no, Doc, read your Bible. Read the word of the Lord. I'm just a messenger. Huh? It says, do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said. We got to be careful with the converge, and we sure enough better be careful with the merge. Because, see, the converge is heading in the direction of the merge. See, some folk act like these two things are separate, but they are a continuum. They are in continuity with one another. See, the person who converges with someone or something ends up merging with that which they are converging with. Let me give you a diagram of that in picture. When a person is getting on the freeway, they are converging. But they are taking the ramp to get on the freeway in convergence in order to ultimately merge to where they are now a part of the traffic that's on the freeway. But the ramp is the converge and the freeway is the merge. When folk end up going the same way and doing the same kind of things, thinking the same way, acting the same way, behaving the same way, doing the same thing, looking like the folk who don't serve God, acting like the folk who don't serve the Lord, the converge has become we've got to be careful to make sure that God is in our fight. And God is in our fight when we, as the children of God, as those who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, walk according to the word of God. Okay? Let me read a little further here. It says, so the king of, this is verse 9 of 2 Kings, the 3rd chapter. We're back to our subject scripture. It says, so the king of Israel went with the king of Judah, and the king of Edom. And they made a circuit of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the army or for the cattle that followed them. Then the king of Israel said, "Alas, for the Lord has called these three kings to give them into the hand of Moab." Did you hear that? Now, this man did not pray to the Lord. He did not seek the counsel of the Lord. But yet he's going to blame the Lord for his own doing. He just went up by the way of the wilderness. They asked him, "Which way are we going?" He said, "We're going up by the wilderness." So they just go up, never trusted in the Lord, never sought the counsel of God, never sought the direction of God. Nothing. Never sought to follow the word of God. He just rambled and rushed right into his decision to go into fight. As I said, the backdrop is that all godly king, King David, would always consult the Lord. Lord, shall I go up? Shall I fight the battle? Doesn't matter if the enemy was at his doorstep. He said, "Lord, shall I go up?" Because his trust was in the Lord. But this man just runs out and runs into battle. Runs after a fight. Never even wondering or even concerning himself whether God was in his fight or not. Oh, if I had time to tell you, those who trust in the Lord with all of their heart and lean not to their own understanding, but in all their ways acknowledge the Lord, God is in your fight. Whatever course that you have taken in life, as you have sought the word of God and been led by the Spirit of God, God is in the fight. Amen. The ones who lean and depend on him. This man did not lean nor depend on the Lord, but yet he blamed the Lord. Be careful about God blameless.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody need to hear me today. Be careful of folk who speak evil of the Lord. "Oh, the Lord did this to me. The Lord did that. He took my grandma. She was 98 years old. And he took, I'll never pray again. I'll never go to church again because my grandma died." Lord, have mercy. Never stop to thank God for the 98 years that he gave grandma, because he didn't have to give her not one thing. Didn't have to let her live long enough to where that same child who doesn't want to honor God would have even known his grandma. But Lord have mercy. But gave 98 years to where grandchildren became grown men and women, and great grandchildren have entered adulthood, and folk got the nerve to complain. Be careful about God complaining kind of folk. Always got some fault for God, something that God done wrong. That's because they can't see. Because they lack understanding, and because they don't have a right relationship with God. And because they're self-centered instead of Christ-centered. Otherwise, they could see clearly. And many of the things that befall them would not have befallen them in the first place had they been walking right with the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, but he blames the Lord. He speaks evil of the Lord, that the Lord did it to him. Never mind, he took out on his own. But the Lord brought him out there to kill him. It's amazing. Verse 11 says, "But Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord here, that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" There he is with that same statement again. Same thing he did with this boy's daddy. Now he come here with this boy. He dealt with one king that rushed out to battle without the Lord. And now he is with another one. And there he is tagging along, then converged and merged with them. Now, like I said, Jehoshaphat was a godly king, but he erred in this thing. And but for the grace of God, he would have lost his life twice, because they found themselves out in the wilderness, in a desert place, and all of them were about to die. All three armies were about to die, except that this man, Jehoshaphat, who was a righteous king, who was a righteous child of God, said, "Is there a prophet here that belongs to the Lord that we may inquire of him?" And it was because of his relationship with God that he sought a word from the Lord. Put a pen there. Somebody's just to get blessed.
Amen.
Even though he messed up, even though he made a mistake, and if we live, look here, if you live long enough on this planet, 1 year is good enough, you're going to make some mistakes. You're going to mess up some stuff. Ask folk that didn't change baby diapers. It don't take long to mess up some stuff. Amen. And as a result of this, he stopped to say, realizing that they had messed up. That they were here in a desert with no water, with not only a whole army that needed sustenance, something to eat and drink, but cattle and other animals that were part of their attack, part of their military efforts. Realizing the situation that they were in, he stopped. Oh, if I had time to tell you how important a stop is. Amen. That's a Dr. E.K. Bailey technique. He said, oh, if I had time, and then he'd go ahead and take the time. If I had time to tell you, take time to stop. If you see yourself going the wrong way, don't let pride fill your heart. Don't let hardiness fill your mind the way you just keep on going and you just gonna make it happen and make it work. Don't do that. Amen. Don't do that. Amen. Take the time to stop and inquire of the Lord.
Amen.
Get on your knees and pray and seek God's guidance. See, back then they had to have a go-between because they don't have what we as New Testament believers have. The veil of the temple, the scripture said, was rent. When Christ died on the cross and his blood was shed, the temple was rent so that every believer has access to the Father who sits up above. So any one of us can go before God and ask the Lord, Lord, which way shall I go? What would you have me to do? Will you give me direction according to your word? It is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God, give me a word. God, give me a word. The man said, is there a word from the Lord? Get me a prophet, somebody who's walked with the Lord, somebody who's talked with the Lord, somebody, God Almighty, who is God directed and God protected. Get me that man or woman so I can get a word from the Lord.
Amen.
That I may get out of this situation I done got myself into. Give me a word from the Lord. Oh, if we just would value the preacher. See, right now, every church house ought to not only be packed, but there ought to be a long line of folk waiting to get in there if they understood the value of the Lord and his word and those that he anoints and appoints. But you got folk, they out there busy, they all about all kind of business. But then when they get in trouble, they want to holler. And many of them want to do just what Jehoram did. Talk about how bad the Lord is and how the Lord let this happen to him and that happened to him. Never mind that they had thrown him behind their backs and went after every kind of sin. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? Verse 11 here in this third chapter of 2 Kings goes on to say, and one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. Oh, somebody gonna make me pray. Good God Almighty. I say, somebody gonna make me pray. He said, is there somebody here? And one of his servants said, got this preacher around here. Got this prophet, got this man of God, and he used to pour water on the hands of this great prophet, this great man of God called Elijah. Jehoshaphat said, he's got the word of the Lord with him. Go get him. Because I know Elijah. And if he poured water on his hands, if he was servant to somebody who served the Lord, then I know this man knows God. Then I know he knows the Lord. See, Joshua served Moses. The scripture says, reveals that Joshua was the servant of Moses. And when Moses went on to be with the Lord, Joshua took reign and rule over the nation because he had walked with somebody who was walking with the Lord. Oh, if folk would just take a little time to serve somebody who's serving the Lord. He said, yeah, he poured water on the hands of Elijah. And just look at what Jehoshaphat said in verse 12. Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. He doesn't even know the man. But he knows that if he poured water on that prophet's hands, that if he had been around anywhere where that prophet walked with the Lord, that he too was a mighty man of God. So he said, the word of the Lord is with him. I had the privilege from the time that I came to the Lord Jesus Christ on Prairie View A&M University's campus to hear the teaching and preaching of Dr. E.K. Bailey of the Great Concord Baptist Church. And I listened to tape after tape, boxes of tapes after tapes. And I didn't even know what I was doing. I was but a child. But I was around, I was sitting under, I'd come under the tutelage of a great man of God. My father in the ministry, praise God, F.L. Anderson from the great Riverside Baptist Church in Fort Worth, where I poured water on his hands and served him and ministered to his needs and whatever it was. And he shared things with me and wisdom fell from his lips. And good God Almighty. And I listened and learned. Because I was around somebody. And as he was getting ready to go on with the Lord hooked me up with Dr. Tony Evans and at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. And for all of these years now, God has poured in and invested in my life. But as I serve the lives of others, folk need to take the time to serve somebody. Amen. Serve somebody. Amen. You'd be surprised what God can transfer into your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, transfer into your life. He said the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Now Elisha said to the king of Israel, what do I have to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother. See, a godly person didn't want anything to do with the ungodly. Elisha was a godly man, and he knew that this man's father and mother had hunted down his mentor, Elijah, to kill him. And he said, go to the prophets, these false gods, these idols. Go to them. Don't come to me. You serve false gods all your life. Go to them. Don't come to me to call on the true and living God for you. But look at what happened. Here in verse 13, it says, and the king of Israel said to him, no, for the Lord has called these three kings together to give them into the hand of Moab. They are still speaking evil of God. And look at what the prophet told him, the prophet of the Lord. It says, and Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you. But for the fact that a child of God is with you, somebody better pray with me. I'd let you die in the desert that you wandered right into. But for the fact that you're with somebody who loves the Lord and who seeks the Lord and who serves the Lord, you die right where you stand. Verse 15 says, but now bring me a minstrel. Oh, if I had time to pray. If I had time to pray. Before I transition now. I want to back up for just a minute because I want to bless some folk.
Amen. Praise God.
We were speaking earlier about the fact that Jehoshaphat was seeking someone who had a word from the Lord. Because he valued those who are servants of God, who dedicate their lives to the teaching and the preaching and the prophesying of God's word. Those who are servant leaders of the Lord, he valued them. And if I had a moment, and I'll take just slight of that, God wants us to know the degree to which we ought to value those who he raised up, those who he anointed, those who he appointed. He wants you to know who they are. Turn with me for a moment to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Hebrews, the 13th chapter. We talked about the value of folk who teach and preach the word of God. Let us look at, we've told you what, now let's look at why. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, long about the 17th verse. And it reads as follows. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Unprofitable for you. God says that those who he placed in servant leadership have watch over your souls. Isn't that a strange thing? God says that mere mortals he's appointed to watch over the souls of those who are his.
Amen. Praise God.
Mere men and women, human beings, who God has placed his spirit upon and in. He says that he appoints and anoints those individuals.
Amen.
To watch over the souls of those who belong to him.
Amen. Praise God.
If I were you, I would pray for the preacher, for the pastor, for whatever servant leader, bishop, apostle, whatever they anointing they're operating on. Pray for those folk who are servant leaders.
Amen.
That God will keep them because God is using them to keep you.
Amen.
Let me give you a picturesque view of this. turn to Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter. The Lord told Ezekiel that he appointed him as a watchman. He was a prophet, a servant of the Lord. And God appointed him to be able to see spiritual things and to be able to warn his people in the natural. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
See, when the preacher is up teaching and preaching, they're not doing it just to see how they sound. They're teaching and preaching the word of God to alert you to where God is and what he's up to.
Amen.
And also to point out the enemy's snares.
Amen,
amen, somebody.
Amen.
To give you the ground where the blessing is and to keep you away from the ground where the destroyer is.
Amen.
Verse 33, or chapter 33, verse 1 says this in Ezekiel. It says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the sons of your people, and say to them, if I bring a sword upon the land, and the people of the land take one man from among them and make him their watchman, and he sees the sword coming upon the land, and he blows on the trumpet and warns the people.
All right.
Then he who hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, and a sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood will be on himself, but had he taken warning, he would have delivered his life." See, some folk are hard-headed and hard-hearted. See, not only can they read the Bible for themselves, read the Word of God for themselves, not only can they pray for themselves and seek God's direction, but then when folks sometimes do that or either don't do it, God will give a word from the preacher, from the prophet, from the man or woman of God to either affirm what they've already read or what God has already spoken to them, or either to inform them of what God is working to do in and through their lives, or what he's purposed and ordained for their lives.
Amen.
On where to be for the blessing and how to get away from the cursing.
Amen.
But if the people won't listen, and they're told one thing and they go do the exact opposite of what they were told, then they end up heading headlong right into the destruction instead of going on the highway into the blessing. God says to be on their own head. But as a teacher, preacher, prophet, man of God, and Pastor Giles is a woman of God, we have vowed and are committed and resolved to teach the word of God by the Spirit of God, that the people of God may know the will of God.
Amen.
According to the word of God.
Amen.
And God has raised up many throughout the earth to do just the same. And it's our responsibility to let the people know what thus say the Lord. Value those who are in servant leadership unto the Lord, who seek the face of the Lord, who's before him night and day on your behalf. Value them and value the word of God. Amen. And value the word of God that you may be blessed therein. And thereby, yeah, value the word of God.
Amen.
2 Kings 3rd chapter, transitioning back now into this 15th verse.
Right.
He said to him, "But now bring me a minstrel." The prophet decided, okay, I'm going to give a word from the Lord, not because of the evil person that does evil things, but because I see a righteous person who does righteous things.
Amen.
And by the way, as Christians, we have no righteousness of our own. It's through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That we are the righteousness of God.
Praise
God. Praises be to God.
God.
Yeah, through his shed blood.
Amen.
Verse 15 says, "But now bring me a minstrel." And it came about when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. The prophet asked for a musician.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all better hear me today. Bring me somebody who knows how to usher in the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
See, a lot of times folk think that praise and worship is just something to do or something to have a good time with. You know, folk get their praise on, so to speak. But see, praise and worship is intended to usher in the presence of God.
Amen.
See, the scripture says that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. So if you ever find yourself, somebody going to make me pray in here. I'm putting a pin where I'm going. If you ever find yourself in a difficult situation, and even if there's nobody around but you, you start praising God. You start worshiping God. You start thanking God for who he is and all the good things that he has done. The enemy is going to try to get you to focus on how bad things is and about this circumstance and about that situation. No, don't focus on that. You start focusing on God. And you give him thanks and you give him praise for who he is and for what he has done in your life. And don't you stop.
Yes. Amen.
Until your situation changes.
Amen.
And when it changes, you can now praise him for the old and for the new.
Amen.
But don't you ever stop praising the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Don't ever stop giving him thanks. The man said, get me a minstrel to usher in the presence of God, the power of God, the spirit of God, that I may prophesy. When Pastor Giles sang that hymn of preparation, she was ushering in the spirit of the Lord. And I just allowed the Lord, when she said that she wanted to hear a word from the Lord in song.
Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen.
It was preparing the way for the word that God wanted to speak to us here. Bless his holy name.
Amen. Praise God.
Say the hand of the Lord came upon him. In 2 Kings 3, chapter the 16th verse, it says, and he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of trenches.
All right.
For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain. Yet the valley shall be filled with water, so that you shall drink, both you and your cattle and your beast. Wow. Is somebody walking with me?
Yeah, praise God.
He told him to do a stupid thing.
Yeah.
He told him to do something in the natural, born out of their faith in the spiritual, because it didn't make sense otherwise. It was sheer stupidity. Here he's telling them that they're in a desert where there's no rain coming and no water anywhere in sight, but he tells them to dig some trenches, in preparation for the water. And he said there won't be any wind, nor any rain. You won't see any of it in the natural, but the trenches will flow with water. See, folk need to learn how to receive a word from the Lord. See, the person who won't act on the word of the Lord can't usher God in a fight. See, because it's only through our obedience to God and his word that allows God to get into our fight. The word of the Lord can go forth, and the person just simply shows the word of God to hand and pushes it down. Literally, they've cursed their own blessing because they would not receive the word of the Lord. They would not believe the word of the Lord. They would not obey the word of the Lord. We're receiving a word of the Lord here today on how to get God in the fight. Receive it and believe it. Act on it. Walk in it. Live it.
Amen.
That the blessings of God may come forth in your life and flow in your marriage and your family and your generations because you trusted him. The prophet gave them a word. Dig trenches.
Woo, come on.
They could have said, well, you know, Doc, you don't understand. See, I'm already hot, thirsty, You what you want us to do is die is what you really want us to do. You want us, if we're not already exhausted enough, you want us to spend manpower, effort, and energy so that we can be plunder for our enemies. Because if I'm going to have to dig trenches and all of that, and ain't no wind, ain't no rain coming, but you're going to tell me it's water, what you really done giving me a death sentence.
Right.
Because that's what it looked like. Mm-hmm. Except for one thing. It was a word from the Lord. It was a word from the Lord. I'm going to give you the skinny on this because I ain't going to have time to go through too much here. When God gives a word, oh, if you'll make note of this here, write it with a pen, put it everywhere you can in your life. When God gives a word, it never just accomplishes one thing. It always accomplishes many things, those which we can see and things that we cannot see. It not only affects us in the current, but it affects us in our future. The word of God is always accomplishing things. So when he told them, not only are you going to be able to drink for your men and for your army and for your cattle, but he says, I'm going to give you the army of Moab and give you the victory over them. As the rest of this chapter goes here in 2 Kings, the third chapter, God not only caused them to drink, but the other army saw the water that was in the trenches that they dug. And they thought it was blood flowing from the three kings who had came together. The king of Israel, the king of Judah, and the king of Edom. They thought that they had fought against each other and their blood was flowing over the land. Because of the sun and the way it reflected on the water from their direction. And so they said, Moab to the spoil. Let's go in and let's get them because they didn't kill each other. And we're going to go in and finish off whatever's left and grab everything that they've got. And they went right into a live army and got eaten alive. Because God gave the victory. God got in the fight. Because of a man named Jehoshaphat who was righteous in his sight. Oh, bless his holy name. Turn with me quickly to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. I don't have a whole lot of time. Deuteronomy 28. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The 28th chapter. I got three verses I want to share with you real quick. It says this in verses 1 and 2. It says, Now it shall be, if you will diligently obey the Lord, your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you will obey the Lord your God. See, when we as Christians, when we as God's people obey his word, God enters our fight. Amen. And he causes the blessings to flow in our lives. Amen. But look at verse 15, the opposite of that. What Moses told the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 28 and 15, he says, But it shall come about if you will not obey the Lord your God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes with which I charge you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. And they start from verse 16 all the way to verse 68 until the end of that chapter. The blessings was from verse 2 to verse 14. But the curses was from verse 16 to verse 68. He says, if you obey me, all these blessings will come upon you. You disobey me, all these curses. The reason why God was in the fight was, number one, because he had one of his children in that fight. His name was Jehoshaphat. And God was in the fight because they obeyed his word when the prophet, when the man of God gave it to them. I want us today to make sure that we receive and believe the word of God in every area of our lives. and that we walk therein as the children of God, having received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we may guarantee that God is in every fight, all of our days, and throughout our generations.